All right. What's up? Come on, what's up, Warriors? How you guys doing today, huh? Wow, man, what a fantastic night last night. Wasn't that incredible? Just you can go ahead and be seated, but as you're doing that, just make sure that you turn around and say hello to a few people. Oh, awesome, guys. Awesome. Wow. The Man Conference. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to get there in just a second. I kind of want to get right into the Word today. I know we have a limited amount of time today, and we are really looking forward to hearing Keith in our final session, man. It was awesome. Awesome yesterday. Or last night. Genesis. Keith was preaching out of Exodus. That's where my Bible was. Genesis 32. And I want to take a look here at the life of Jacob. And I want to talk about this moment in Jacob's life where he really steps into becoming that warrior that God has called him to become. And many of you are probably familiar with the story, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Of course, Abraham, known as the father of faith, his son Isaac, and Isaac's son Jacob. This is the story here of Jacob. And Jacob, all his life, has been what I call a runner. He's been running from his brother Esau. He stole his brother Esau's blessing, and he's always been a runner. He's been running from Esau. He's been running from his father-in-law Laban. And in fact, Jacob's name, it actually means heel snatcher or deceiver or conniver. And from the beginning of his life, while he was in the womb, the Bible says that he was snatching, he was chasing his brother Esau's blessing, so to speak, snatching at his heels. And guys, here's what I know about men. All of us, as men, we're chasing things and we're running from things. You know, and you look at Jacob, he really is the picture of every man that from birth, man, we're chasing what we think is going to make us all that. We're chasing success. We're chasing the dollar. We're chasing what we think are the blessings. And just like Jacob, we're deceiving. We're doing it our own way. We're running our own life. And so we're constantly in this mode of chasing after these things that we think are going to bring us significance. We're snatching at the heels of those things, that place, that dollar amount, that position, that popularity, whatever that thing is, that step in the corporate ladder. We're chasing after those things and snatching at the heels of what we think are going to bring us blessing. And then at the same time, let me tell you what, because we're chasing after those things, at the same time, we're having to run away from other things. And this is what we see in the life of Jacob to this point, man. Because he's chasing after those things that he thinks are going to make him successful, and he's deceiving and he's conniving, it's causing him to run away. And even though God's blessing is on his life and God's speaking to him and God's drawing Jacob, Jacob continues to run his life his own way, and he continues to run away from things as God's calling him to be that person that God has called him to be. And guys, isn't that like us? We put on a front. Am I right? Look, I've got my running shoes on this morning. Isn't that like us? We put on a front, but then on the inside, we're really running away. You know, you think, man conference. Yeah, man, we're talking about it Sunday morning. I guarantee you, there's so many guys. Yeah, man, you know, on the hour, amen. Yeah, man, conference, I'm going to be there. But guess what's going on the inside? Man, they're probably going to talk about commitment. Man, they're probably going to talk. Man, I am out of here, dude. Too many guys are wearing their track shoes.
That's right.
To church. They're like Jacob. Jacob had on running shoes all his life. He was a runner all his life. Guys, come in. You know, you hear, we talk about stewardship, and we talk about generosity, and we talk about giving. And on the outward, just like Jacob, we put up that deception. We put up that, yeah, amen. But on the inside, we're like, I am gone. Our marriage, our kids. We know there's a price to pay. And on the outward, we might agree, yeah. But on the inside, we run away from that and we continue chasing at the heels of the things that we think are going to bring us fulfillment in life. And this is what's going on in the life of Jacob. Listen, he has the blessing of God. God is with him. And the good news is we pick it up here in chapter 32. Several years ago, thank God, this is actually the second big encounter that Jacob has with God. Several years ago, and you can read about this in Genesis chapter 28, that's where Jacob has what is we call Jacob's dream or Jacob's ladder. And what happens is he has this vision and there's an open heaven and he says, you know, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And he called that place Bethel. He named it the house of God. He says, surely God is in this place. And he builds an altar there to God and he pours oil over it, symbolizing the Holy Spirit. And he actually at that point, he says, hey, I'm going to give God a tenth of everything that he gives me. And it's symbolic of Jacob committing his life to God and planting himself in the house of the Lord. That's what Bethel means. Bethel's the house of the Lord. So Jacob plants himself in the house of the Lord. The previously that spot was named Luz. Luz means separated. So we can say that as far as Jacob being planted in God's house, in God's purposes, he was separated until that point where he has the vision of God. Wow, this place is Bethel. This is the house of God. This is an open heaven. I'm going to build an altar. This is a meeting place with God. I'm going to give God a tenth. The oil he pours over, the Holy Spirit's going to dwell here. That's a type and shadow of the church. And guys, here's the first thing that you have to know about being a warrior, about being a man of God. You've got to get planted in the house of God. Amen. You've got, that's step one. That is step one. There's no, without Genesis 28, there's going to be no Genesis 32 here. Are you following me?
Yes.
Genesis 28, getting planted in the house of God. Now he's connected. Now he's at least put himself in a position to really have an encounter with God and really step into the destiny that God has for his life. So here we have in 32, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of the story. Just kind of to sum it up, you know, he's been running from all his life. He's been running from Esau. He stole his blessing. He went to Laban's, his father-in-law. And, you know, over there, once again, he worked for Laban. He was deceived by Laban, but he also deceived Laban. And here he is now running from Laban with Laban's daughters whom he married. And now he's headed towards Canaan here. But the problem is now Esau hears that Jacob's coming back. So here's Laban chasing him on this end. He's running from Laban over here. But guess what? Here comes Esau over here, who he'd been running from before. And guys, isn't this what happens in our lives? Eventually, all the running and all the heel snatching and chasing after the run, it eventually all catches up with us.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But aren't you glad we have a merciful God? Aren't you glad that we have a God who intervenes? Aren't you glad that we have a God who is for us, who's not against us? I believe the picture of Jacob, it's the picture of every man. Guys, isn't that who we are when we come in? Isn't that how we've been programmed? Heel snatch. Step over people. Put ourselves up front. Climb after success. Run from the problems and those things that we really need to confront. But then we come into the house of God and we get planted and we make that commitment to Jesus Christ. Like Jacob symbolically did in Genesis chapter 28. And then God really starts to move. He starts to intervene, and then it comes to a point when he calls us to truly surrender. When he calls us to lay it all down. All of it. And that's what's going on here in this story. So, you know, here comes Esau. Laban's already caught up with him, but he can't go back there. Here comes Esau. So Jacob, you know, he's got his plan. He's like all of us, man. He's got his, and he's intelligent. He's got a good plan. Okay, I'm going to divide up over here, and we're going to get two parties here. So if Esau attacks one, the other one will be left alive. And then I want to send all these processions ahead of me, you know, and maybe kind of soften his heart and give him some gifts. And, you know, the wives are going to go over here, and he's got this whole plan. And he's about to do what he's always done, run, connive, scheme. But this time, God says, that's enough. That's enough. And God comes down here. Look what happens in verse 22. He's about to do all this. He's about to be confronted by Esau. Esau, by the way, when Jacob left, Esau had said, I will kill you. Esau was going to kill Jacob. He said, I will get my revenge. I will kill Jacob. Da, da, da. So when one of the big things about Jacob coming back now and Esau coming, I mean, Jacob thinks he's going to be killed. And he probably would have been killed if God hadn't intervened. And so look at 32:22. It's basically right before this confrontation. And it says, and he arose that night, took his two wives, two female servants, and 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. That was just part of his plan there. Now, verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. This is God. This is the God-man, Christ Jesus, intervening right now. This is how, you know what, what Keith was saying? You know how I know God is a warrior? Guess what God does right here? He comes down and picks a fight. And this act of wrestling God here, this is a manifestation of what Jacob had been doing his whole life. What did Keith say yesterday? What do men do? Men think struggle. Warriors think war for the kingdom. Jacob had been a struggler his whole life. And even though God had pronounced his blessing on him, Jacob was still running his life his own way, digging the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. Now it's finally catching up on him. And so this struggle, this wrestling with God, it's just a manifestation of the struggle, of the wrestle that Jacob had been having with God all of his life. And it's what God does to us as men. I found in my own life so many things. You know, even after I've come to Jesus Christ, and then there's this part of my life that doesn't line up, but I want to keep doing it my own way. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? There's this part of my life, and I don't really believe that God can really heal this. I don't know if God can really, really bring this type of deliverance. I don't know. And so there's these things, and it's causing me to run a little bit, chase a little bit. And there's this wrestling going on with God. And God's saying, no, I need you to bring that thing to me. I need you to stop doing it your own way, Stovall. I need you to stop leading this your own way. I need you to stop doing this in your own. And there's a struggle. There's a wrestle with God. That's what is going on right here in Jacob's life. So here comes God. Look at verse 25. It says, now when he saw, this is God. Watch this. When he saw, when God saw that he did not prevail against him, speaking of Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. It's So watch this. God saw that Jacob wasn't going to change. God saw, okay, I've come down, man. I've been dealing with him, dealing with him, dealing with him. Here comes God the warrior. That's it, Jacob. You and me are going to fight. We're taking this up to the next notch. So he comes down and they begin to wrestle. And God sees that this guy, what is wrong with this guy? He's about to get killed by Esau. He's in this hole. He still doesn't get it. Guys, isn't that like us? Oh, I'm... Man, we just... I mean, God has kicked your tail, been wrestling with you, and still... You're still doing your own thing. I'm still doing my own thing. That was the whole thing with the children in the children of Israel in the wilderness. If they just learn the lesson so we can get out of here. This is what God's doing. Jacob, I need you to learn this lesson so we can get up, get out of here, and get on with advancing the kingdom of God. Now watch what God does. Look, the Bible says here, he touched the socket of his hip. But if you look that up in the Hebrew, guess what it means? It's not like God went, ooh, let me. You look at the Hebrew, up in the Hebrew, you know what it says? God whacked him. I'm talking God put a blow on him. I'm talking God put a pow on him. God's a warrior. God's a fighter. The Bible says he whacked, struck, put a blow. This is interesting. Watch. Think about this. Don't say it if you get it. Just think about this. On Jacob's hip. In other words, God could have whacked him a lot of places. He's trying to get Jacob to tap out here. How many of you guys watch the altar? You know the fight? When you find the guy gets the guy down and he's had enough, what does he do? This is what God is waiting for Jacob to do, to tap out. But man, Jacob's stubborn. He won't tap out. He should have tapped out 10 years ago. He should have tapped out 20 years ago at Bethel. He should have been... God's like, you're going to tap out. But interesting, God, when he's ready for Jacob to tap out, he strikes him at the hip. I mean, why didn't God put the Americana lock on him? The Americana lock in MMA where it breaks the shoulder. Why didn't God put the arm bar on him? Or the triangle choke? Or for some of you old school guys like me that just grew up in the WWE, how many of you remember Kabuki, baby? Anybody? Kabuki! Coming out with that. And the Kabuki he'd come up to you and he had the Kabuki grip. And he just, he was huge and he'd just come up to guys and he'd go, dude, one of these, and he just. Remember those old wrestling moves? What about just a good old sleeper, baby? Yeah. Now it's all lock bar, Americana, grip, double triangle, choke hold. I remember the good old days. It was just a... Yeah. Put that sleeper. Why didn't God do that? Why didn't he twist his arm? Because God needed to touch Jacob in the area that would prevent him from doing what he had been doing all his life. And that was running from the true call of God on his life. Guys, doesn't God know how to break us? Doesn't he know how to bring us to that point? in that place where he brings us. Unfortunately, man, we could have learned the lesson a lot earlier. But because he loves us and he sees that we're headed for destruction and he sees that hurt, he comes in and he intervenes and he knows how to touch us in that area or to create the situation or to allow the situation where what we have been relying on to do things our own way, we can never use that again. Come on, you can give God a hand right there for that. So now Jacob's hip is broken. And then in verse 26, God speaks to him and God says, okay, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, now this is Jacob. Now remember, God was the aggressor in this fight. God intervened. God came down. God engaged Jacob. Now all of a sudden they're wrestling. Jacob didn't get it. It's a manifestation of what he'd been doing his whole life. So God touched him in the place, or whacked him in the place, hurt him in the place, so that he could never do what he had been relying on his whole life to deceive and chase and all that. And that was run. He could never run again now. So now all of a sudden, God's saying, okay, I'm pulling out. And now all of a sudden, Jacob's like, wait. Oh, it changes now.
Yes, it does.
Isn't that right, guys? When we get to the end of our rope?
Yes, it does.
And all of a sudden, man, all of a sudden, what we've relied on for so long to do things in our own strength is gone. And now we're like, God, now I have to have you. God, now I need you. God, now I see. God, now I understand. So here's what Jacob says. He cries out and he says, God, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now this, for the first time in Jacob's life, this is the cry of a warrior. For the first time, because you know what Jacob is saying here? He's saying, God, I can't run anymore. Esau's coming to kill me. I don't have a good rapport with Laban. God, this is it. I can't run anymore, God. All I have is you. God, I have to have your favor. I have to have your blessing. Lord. God, I have to have your power in my family. I've got to have your power in my life. Lord, I've got to have your power to get free from this pornography. God, I'm sick of this anger issue. I've got to have your blessing in my life. I got to have your blessing. That's the cry of a warrior, God. Guys, will that be our cry today? Don't listen to me. Listen to me, we are not leaving this place until we have your blessing, God. And where that comes from, that comes from a true heart cry. I can't do it anymore, God. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of chasing. I'm tired of doing things in my own strength. God, you win. Tap out. Tap out, guys. You've been wrestling with God. You've been running. You've been chasing. It's time to. You win, God. I want to stop being just a male. I'm ready to be a man. So look what God says here. This is awesome. So he says, look, God, I got to have you now. I mean, this is, I'm done, God. God, I'm yours. I'm all yours. So look what God says. God says, what is your name? What is your name? Now, how many of you know God knew his name? Do you see what God's doing here? What does the name Jacob mean? Heel snatcher, chaser, conniver. Some translations even say deceiver. God says, what's your name? He says, Jacob. In other words, he's coming clean. And God is reminding him for his entire life to this point, that is what he's been. He's been a chaser, a heel snatcher, a runner doing things his own way. He said, and he confesses, that's me, God. That's me. But now look what God says. God says, verse 28, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Now the word Israel here means governed by God. Israel means one submitted to God. See, now Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's name right now that was heel snatcher, chaser, deceiver, doing it his own way. Now God's saying, because Jacob, you finally tapped out. Now you're finally submitted to God. Now you can truly be governed by me. Now you can take my favor and blessing that you've always had and not squander it, but use that favor and power to advance the kingdom of God. Your name is called Israel, from which will come the 12 tribes of Israel, that will come the tribe of Judah, that will come the Messiah Christ, that will be the Savior of the world. I'm getting fired up now, man. I'm getting fired up now. They clear this stage so I won't throw anything. So the Messiah is born and humanity is... this will hurt somebody. And humanity... Watch. The Messiah is born. Watch this guy. You don't think you have purpose? You don't think you have potential? Oh, I'm just a whatever. I'm just... The 12 tribes of Israel come into being. The Messiah is born and the world is saved. All because one deceiver, conniver, chaser decided to finally... Guys, don't leave this place without tapping out. You have no idea the potential that you have in your life and the future generations that you will affect by becoming a warrior. Here's a, I wanted to add a definition to Kiev's great about, you know, warriors think, you know, kingdom and men, all that kind of, listen to this. Men run, but warriors submit.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. Yeah.
Men run, but warriors submit. Warriors tap out to the greatest warrior of all so that they can join the fight that really matters, the eternal fight for men's souls to advance the kingdom of God. God needs warriors on his team. I mean, guys, really, I mean, think about that. Do you understand? Just look at our job just here in Jacksonville. I mean, come on, however many men end up coming to this conference, maybe 1,000 men, that is a fraction of the men that are even in our own church, Celebration Church. Do you see the gap? Yeah. You see the void. Forget even talking about all the men in Jacksonville. Guys, we got a job to do. We've got a rescue. There are all those men out there chasing, heel snatching, running away. And God's got a purpose. He's got a plan. The potential that's on their lives that will advance the kingdom of God is huge. Am I my brother's keeper? Absolutely, you're your brother's keeper. We should have... Next year, this conference ought to be five times as big just by this group of men tapping out. Come on, can you give God a hand for that? Last thing, I'll finish with this and then we'll pray. So God says, look, your name shall no longer be called Chaser, Heel Snatcher, Deceiver. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, governed by God, submitted to God. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Now, how did Jacob prevail? He tapped out. Guys, this is the greatest act of courage that a man could ever do when it comes to his struggle with God.
That's good.
Our submission to God is the greatest form of prevailing that could ever happen in our life. And it's the beginning for all blessings and great things to come. So he goes on to say, so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which means the face of God. He says, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And it says, just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on his hip, and he limped on his hip. Now, you've got to see this, man. Psalm 83. Lord, make your face shine upon us, and we will be saved. Here's Israel now, governed by God at the break of day in the sun. And I'm not going to get into, there's all kind of other stuff going on here. See, you have a season of God's visitation. That's why God was like, the day's breaking. If you don't, I'm going to be... Don't miss the time of God's visitation, guys.
That's good.
That's another message. But here's Israel now. The sun rises. What does the place Peniel mean? The face of God. Lord, make your face shine upon us. Here's the shining of the sun. In the place, the face of God. It's the face of God shining upon Jacob, who's now Israel. And here comes Jacob, no longer able to run and no longer wanting to run.
That's good.
And as the sun comes up, Lord, make your face shine upon us when we will be saved. As the shining comes in the place that means the face of God, here's a man that's been marked by God. And what the statement says now is, Jacob will be saved.
Amen.
Salvation, totally complete. This is what Jesus has for us. He wants you totally spirit, mind, body, and soul. He wants you complete. He wants you whole so that you can advance his purposes in the earth. And they go on to say, from this day, look what the children of Israel do. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle. Do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. In other words, that's the upper thigh bone. So to this day, watch. To this day, the children of Israel do not eat the meat on the upper thigh. And it is a reminder, it's a commemoration to Jacob's encounter with God where he became Israel. See, guys, here's what I was thinking about. Men are known for their success, but they're marked by their pain. And when the children of Israel come together, even though, oh man, that's when Jacob got, changed his name to Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel, and he was saved, and it implied salvation, not just for him, but salvation for the entire world, because the Messiah would come through that lineage. They don't think about all that great success. You know what they celebrate or commemorate? The pain. Reminding us that there is always a price to pay if you're going to be a warrior and if you're going to make a difference for God. What is Jesus? Man, we Jesus, the risen Savior. He's awesome. Salvation, grace is free. Celebrate, it's awesome. But when we come together for communion, what do we remember? We remember his pain. We remember the price that the ultimate warrior paid for all of us. And if Jesus paid that kind of price, guys, then all of us, we can pay a price. We'll be marked by pain, but we'll see the salvation of God and the kingdom of God advance in the earth and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when we stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come on, can you give God a big hand clap? Stand to your feet, guys. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, let's give God a big hand. Listen. Dennis, bring me one of those cards real quick. Remain standing. I want to go into a time of just worship here for a few minutes, Matt. Everybody remain standing. Listen. For many of you, it's time to tap out. It's time to tap out right now. It's time to be marked. This is your, this conference, the man conference for many of you. This is your penuel. Yes, yes. This is when you tapped out and the face of God shined upon you. This is where you as a man stop being a runner, a chaser, a deceiver. Yes, you love God. Yes, you go to church. Yes, you're safe. But you're living life your own way and you're squandering away your potential. It's in this spot where you tap out and you say, "No longer. God, you have your way. Lord, I submit myself to your breaking. And from this day forward, just like the word Israel means, I'm going to be governed by God. I'm going to be submitted to you, God. Because a warrior is someone, a man runs, but a warrior submits." Here's what I want to do right now. If you say, "Stovall, I'm tapping out. There's some things I've been holding on to, some things I've been running from, some things I've been chasing after, doing some things my own way." Right now, if that's you, but you're ready to tap out right here and right now, I want you to raise your hand. Raise it high right now. Hands up all over the place. Come on, we're tapping out, guys. We're tapping out. Man, hands up all. I don't even know if we can have an altar. Then we're going to make this whole place an altar. This place is Pinnell. And man, you're going to go out of here from this conference and you're going to be marked. There's going to be a limp in you and you're going to say, "This was the day I tapped out. This was the day I became free. This was the day I became a warrior. I'm taking my running shoes off." You don't need these anymore. You don't need these anymore. So right now, we're going to pray that prayer that Jacob prayed, and then we're going to go into worship. And I want that theme to transcend into worship. Right now, let's focus on God. Lord, we're not leaving here until you bless us, God. Because, Lord, right now, we tap out, Lord. We give it all to you. We're not running. We're not chasing. We're not deceiving anymore, God. Lord, but we come before you and we say, have your way, God. Bless us, Lord. God, we're your warriors. We submit to you, God. We thank you for forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for washing. Thank you for a fresh start. Right now, just receive that fresh start, that cleansing from Jesus Christ. All of your past is washed away. We're cleansed. We're forgiven. And Lord, right now we just pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of the warrior, God. We submit to you, God. We get kingdom minded. Lord, may your face shine upon us. And Lord, we will be saved. This community will be saved. We will advance the kingdom of God in the earth as your warriors, Lord. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on, worship like a warrior. Worship like a warrior. Submit right now. If you need to get to the altar right now, show God. Tap out right now. Tap out. We're yours, God. pray. I'm going to say one more thing, then you come up. Come on, guys. Let's give the ultimate warrior, Jesus, a big hand right now. Man. You know, I didn't have time to go there, but you know, every man taps out. You either tap out to God or you tap out to the devil. So it's not a matter of if you're going to tap out. It's who you're going to tap out to. And when you tap out to God and get on His side, become one of His warriors. Come on, then you can kick tail and cause the enemy to tap out wherever you go. He'll tap out in your family. He'll tap out in your business. He'll tap out in your kids. When you come in there in the power of God, the devil, oh man, I'm out of here, man. Because he can't stand against Jesus Christ. Dennis, bring me that card. You gave it to me, but I think I threw it at somebody. Guys, listen. For many of you, this is part of the tap out. I'm serious about this, man. There's two things on here. These personal. Listen, if you're going to be a warrior for God, you've got to know the Word of God.
Amen.
You know what makes. Obviously, successful armies, successful attacks, they have good communication. And that's one of the tactics of it. When there's ever a war, one of the tactics is always, hey, let's cut off their lines of communication. And that's what personal devotion is all about, man. It's about spending time with our commander in chief. Getting His power, getting filled up, getting His communication in our lives so that we can carry out the orders that He has for us. So it's you establishing that time of personal devotion. We have a Bible reading plan out there. We've got info out there that helps you how to do that in 20 minutes a day. It's just one chapter a day. I mean, you could do it in 10 minutes. We encourage you to try to spend 20 minutes with God. Read that one chapter. Pray, meditate on it, and then for once a week, you just find a few of your friends. You could do it with your family. You could do it with your kids. You can start your own. We can put you some in with some other men, however it works for you. But if you will commit to personal devotion and in some way, shape, or form, once a week, meeting with a couple of guys or with your family and doing a personal devotion together. What I mean by that is once a week, have some coffee and you can talk about what was kind of your favorite devotional of that week or what did God speak to you that week that you're really excited about. And you're just talking about that. Guys, listen, we need our warriors spending time with our commander in chief, Jesus Christ. So these cards are out there. You can sign up and we can help you with that. And then also, if you're interested in becoming part of the 300 and finding out when that next meeting is very soon in September, that's going to be a big informational meeting of what the 300's about and about being a warrior and our commitment as men. If you're interested in that, please let us know about it because we can contact you. It's a invitation only kind of deal. We open it up twice a year. So listen, as part of your tap out, if Celebration Church is your home church, make sure and fill one of these out. Even if you're already leading a Devo group or in a Devo group, let us know about that. Okay, guys, come on. Where's John Wyatt at? Let's give it up for